Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On, Season 3, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wonderful, wild world of wrestling. On Wednesdays. Today's guest is both a friend and an on-screen rival. He's equal parts loved and hated. But in wrestling, those two things are interchangeable. He isn't afraid to be fashion-forward or be in touch with his well-groomed elder millennial side. I wonder if the carpet matches the ever-changing curtains. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Caleb with a K. So how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just got back from Connecticut. Yeah.
What, were you wrestling there?
Yeah, a buddy of ours had a show at a brewery. He does trivia, and he decided to run a wrestling show from the brewery he does trivia on. It was me and Chris were there, and Effie and Danhausen, Man Scout Man.
That sounds like a great show.
It was good, yeah.
Did you get to partake in any of the trivia?
No. Lex Luger was there. It was all Lex Luger trivia, actually.
Well, that's not fair, and he definitely can't participate then.
No.
So, one thing I noticed about your wiki and any information about your wrestling career is there's not a shit ton about you, the human being, Mason.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm here. What do you want to know?
Yeah, I'm here. That's cool. Tell me about, like, young baby Caleb. What did you do growing up? What were your loves?
Well, always wrestling. Always wrestling.
Yeah.
My father was in music growing up. He was a roadie and a drummer, and he worked for bands. He worked for David Allen Coe when they were doing the Great American Bash. Dusty Rhodes was a huge fan of him and would bring him on tour, and they would play during Great American Bash. So my dad was a part of that, and he kind of always wanted to get into wrestling, but he was already in music, and that kind of paid the bills. But, like, I was basically brought right into wrestling via that.
Oh, wow.
So, like, always in music, always in wrestling.
Okay.
During the summers, I was on the road with him, and he would pretend like I was helping him set up the drum sets and tune guitars and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
That was a lot of my childhood. That and going to really bad independent wrestling shows.
Still one of my favorite pastimes.
Yeah, I'm still doing it, actually.
How old was your dad when he got into music? Was it like a teenager and then just kept plugging through? Or
he was the same way I am about wrestling. Like, he was like, all right, I'm graduated high school. I'm going to get a job being a roadie and travel the country. And so, like, basically when he was 18, 19, he got into all that.
Cool. Do you have siblings?
I have.
Do tell.
I have a full brother.
Yep.
A stepsister. Two stepbrothers and a half-brother. And an adopted brother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are any of them in wrestling?
No. Me and my full brother would always wrestle, like, on the trampoline. And, you know, in my grandma had this giant couch that we would have, like, our own little promotion that we would wrestle on as, like, fifth graders and second graders.
Yeah. What about the rest of your family in terms of supporting your wrestling?
My mom hated that my dad did it. She, when I signed with Impact, like, she was a waitress, and the people there all the time, they were wrestling fans. And she's like, oh, that's my son.
That's so nice. So where were you actually born?
I was born in Nashville because my dad was in country music, but I don't remember it. You know, like, I was a child, and we're in Missouri and Nashville and Atlanta. My dad is from Atlanta. My mom's from Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Dad lives in Ohio, and my mom lives in Atlanta, oddly enough.
What?
I mean, they're divorced now, but it just happened to be that way.
So was that always your goal then? You were, you know, doing school because you had to, or did you kind of have other aspirations?
I mean, you know, the Attitude Era was huge. So I wanted to be a wrestler. Attitude Era hit. I really wanted to be a wrestler. And then, you know, I'm 15, 16. I'm playing football. I'm trying to get in trouble and be a normal teenager. I kind of lost interest in it a little bit for like a year or two. But then my best friend, turns out we had been hanging out for a couple years. We were into the same kind of music. We went to concerts together. And then, like, we were talking, and it turned out his dad was also an independent wrestler when he was a kid.
Oh.
Really got into wrestling together. And then we were like, we're going to do this for real. We're going to start training and going to the gym and doing this stuff.
Cool. Is he still in the business?
He is still in the business. Yeah, he wrestles locally around the Georgia, Tennessee area. But yeah, still in the business. Bobby Moore, hit for hire. Little plug ski.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. I was like, tell me about him. Let's look him up.
Soft shake in it, good brother in it. You grow up at a certain point, I guess. Some people do. I didn't. But a lot of people grow up and decide they want to, you know, have a real life.
Yeah. But you know what? I did that. And look, I came back.
It's a real life.
It's in your blood. Like, you know, once a carny, always a carny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was really adamant about it too. You know, I held my ground for 10 years. I'm a stubborn fuck.
For 10 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
If everyone these days retires and then have another match like the next month.
I meant it. I wasn't going to do the Cher thing. I wasn't going to, you know, have my reunion tour every year.
And you were young too. Like super. I mean, you're still young, but you were way young to retire at that point. Everyone's like, yeah, she'll come back. She'll be back.
I know. And I pissed a lot of people off. Not in an actual angrily way, but like my friends were like, you know, what are you doing? Like, stop playing Samaritan or civilian. Like, come back to work. So tell me, I want to talk like romance and wrestling because I feel like we've made a really big change in the past few years where not only are relationships in wrestling accepted, they're pretty common, whereas probably, you know, you can say 10 years ago, you know, especially as a woman, you don't shit where you eat and...
Yeah, but everyone always was.
Yeah, oh my God, well that was the joke. So mm-hmm. How did you meet your lovely lady?
Me and Chris I was on a couple of shows with her early on. We said hi. We talked a little bit, not really. We started doing this show called FSCW, which is Fantasy Super Cosplay Wrestling, which is like, I'm Star-Lord. She was Gambit from X-Men. Or not Gambit. Fuck it. What's it? Rogue. Rogue. She was Rogue, not Gambit. That's the other one. She was Rogue, and she was also, I don't know, someone from G.I. Joe, but I never watched that, so I don't remember what her name was. I don't know, we had fun. Like, we just joke around and be friends. I like to, you know, cause a little bit of trouble, joke around, make fun of people a little bit, not talk about your big head or anything. But I just playing games, and some people don't like it so much, and she took to it, and she just talked shit right back. And
you were like, I love you.
Yes, basically.
Oh, you're an asshole too.
pretty much, yeah, that was it.
Oh, that's nice. Well, it's good that she can give it back. Cause,
definitely. She gives it to me way harder than I give it to her.
Yeah? I'm excited to meet her one day.
And she'll do it publicly, too. We'll be in the middle of a crowd, and she'll just start talking shit. Everyone's like, these people must hate each other, but no.
No, it's. I feel like I've learned over the years, that's actually like my love language. If I like you, then I probably make you feel unsafe.
You need a little fear in your life.
A little. Are you ever going to commit to a hair color? Because I feel like we planned this. Like, I'm very blonde. You're very blonde. Did you know?
No, I didn't. I don't think I'm going to. This is not a new thing for me. It's been brought back. But in high school, my hair was every color in the world. I had dreadlocks, mohawk, Liberty spikes, everything. I had just dumb hair.
It's exciting.
I went to Japan and I saw the guys over there. They had really cool hairstyles. So then I like did the side shave and I had leopard print and everyone's kind of like, you're dumb. Why are you doing this? But now I have a reason to. So I'm just going to be just going fucking nuts and just do whatever I want.
I like it. So are you loving Caleb with a K?
Yeah, I am. Obviously, I want to do more wrestling, but I do. I love just the ability to just go out there and be as stupid as I want to be. For the longest time, it was like, I assume from everybody's perspective, but definitely for me, I felt like I needed to go out there and be like a serious wrestler, and I needed to be respected and taken seriously, and I needed to do suplexes and all the things that you do. And then like probably around this, I mean, obviously I get older and I get goofier, but like doing FSCW and it was just like me being Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. I got to be real goofy doing that. And like, it was so much fun. It was so much easier. I didn't put this pressure on myself to be like this 5-star match guy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm bringing that over into Caleb with a K and then just like go into 100 with it. Like just be as dumb as possible. Whatever I think is dumb, I go, let's try to make it a little dumber.
Yep. Well, I think honestly, like I've told you before, but you know, I want to bring it on this podcast that I think you're insanely talented, and I think you've really helped escalate the knockouts, and you really, you know, you bump like a champ. You don't have any ego in it, and I don't think like I could be wrong, but my perspective is just because you go out there and you're serious and you wear like black tights and you do suplexes and, you know, whatever, you're Mr. Generico, I don't think that makes you a good wrestler. I think, you know, elevating other people, that makes you incredibly talented. And I'm really thankful for everything you've done for the knockouts. So I really hope Caleb with a K sticks around. And I, honestly, I've actually gotten a lot of feedback from like male fans that as much heat as you derive from that character, they really love what you do with the knockouts and like the storylines you bring. I actually think, and not in a biased way because I've been in storylines with you, but I actually think you're one of the most entertaining performers Impact has, because you're doing something ridiculous, you know?
I mean most of the feedback I've gotten is very positive. You know, a couple people have, you know, the wrestling purists want me to be a serious wrestler again, but you know, like, I have fun. People seem to be reacting to it. The more dumb stuff I do, more people will be entertained. And like, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, is entertain people, right?
Totally. But you can be Caleb with a K, and I still want you, I want to see you get a big push, you know, get a title run. Because honestly, I want to see it. Truly, I would like to see it.
When are you going to start booking this show?
Well, you know what? There is a bigger part of me coming from not a feminist standpoint, but like as a female wrestler, I'm already 1 to 20. It's changing. But the difference now is the demographic is still very white male when it comes to management. You know, besides Gail, besides, you know, we've got Madison back, but she's talent too. Like there's just, I don't know of any female writers for Impact, and I don't know if there's any at AEW, or like Sarah Stock was at WWE, but she got furloughed pretty quick. So
I always feel like that's, you know, when people say how good the Knockouts division is, I always, when people ask me, I'm always like, it's because Gail stands up for everybody and she pushes really hard.
Yep.
She knows what she wants, and she knows what the girls are capable of doing, and she makes sure she gets that.
Yeah. And she was, you know, for argument's sake, she's been a really strong force in women's wrestling across the past decade, you know, 15 years. And that's the difference. Like, male agents are always these really strong personalities in wrestling. We haven't had that. We haven't had that backstage for the women. So, you know, that's something I'm hoping that more female workers work towards. And, you know, as I get older, it's things I'm thinking about. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to hang up the boots again yet. I just got back. So
you have a whole lot of bumps left on that bump card from not doing it for 10 years.
I know. That's what I was just talking about, my bump card the other day. Developmental easily took 2 years off, but I rested for 10. So that's basically a new card, right?
Yeah. From your side of it, like, you were gone from, I mean, how much did you keep up with it while you were out?
Not much, man. Like, I wasn't in the ring. I think it was 2017 when they had that first Mae Young Classic. WWE had called me and they asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. And I hadn't been training. I wasn't in the mind frame. I was like, I just became a firefighter. I was playing hockey. Like, I was still fit. I've never kind of missed a day of the gym because that's part of who I am. But I probably massively overcompensated. I was too excited. I trained for a few days and someone like popped me up to like land on the top rope, which something I've done quite a few times. I popped up. I was stronger than I used to be because I eat carbs now. And I overshot the turnbuckle and I headbutted the beam.
Yeah.
And it was great. I split my nose. I split my face. I had to go get my face glued. Had a really bad concussion. And I was like, nah. That I'm good.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so I was almost ready to come back.
And then that happened.
Yeah, so
Chris has this picture of one of the first day that she was training, and she did the same thing. She busted her forehead.
No.
Open. It was like her first week of training. And so she sent me this picture like right when we kind of first started talking. And I made a poster of the Something About Mary poster, and I changed it to her face bleeding. And then she has like a little white fluffy Shiba Inu dog, and I put that in the little dog's face. And she did not like it at all.
No, I guess not. I was just going to say, I'll send you my photo, but fuck it, never mind. But, you know, I'd always kept tabs on my friends because, you know, they were all doing bigger and better things. And I was, you know, really supportive of them. And like when they'd come through Toronto, I'd make sure I'd always go watch. And like, I truly was just happy for all my friends doing good things, but I had no interest. And then I felt like the concussion face splitting was like divine intervention, that it wasn't time to go back.
Sure.
You know, and I had my son and life was normal and I was really ready to get out of a shitty marriage. And I thought, hey, divorce, wrestling, that sounds like a really good combo. So.
Midlife crisis?
No, because it's my second divorce.
You're a grizzled vet in this divorce department.
Yeah, I've seemed to do really well career-wise in other aspects of my life. Marriage, not so much.
Try again, I guess.
Third time's a charm, right? I figure, like, I work with a bunch of, like, middle-aged men and a lot of emergency services people based on, like, stressful jobs. They have multiple marriages. I don't know. It just happens. They always say, like, your third marriage is just finding someone to die with. So I'm just looking for someone to die with.
You got a little while to find them, though, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm not in a rush. We'll see. Like,
so when you came back, was it a huge culture shock? Was it completely different? Was it, like, a complete culture shock of what it was a decade before?
You know what the weirdest part was? I didn't feel like I'd been gone at all.
That's good.
Like, everything felt like I felt like I came home, and I didn't feel like I was. I did feel like intensely nervous right before I left Gorilla, and I don't recall ever feeling nervous, like adrenaline, like excitement. But I was literally like, I could hear my heart beating, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Like the girls have like changed?
Oh God. What I had kept tabs on for the past 10 years, because I'm totally biased being a female, I really love women's wrestling. I was so impressed with the depths of the talent pool of women. And that has massively changed, especially in the past five to 10 years. And I think that NXT, AEW, Impact, all the major companies and on the indies, women are incredible workers now. It's moved so far away from the Divas era, and that is really what motivated me to come back, was just how talented all the women were. And I guess all the women that were at Impact, per se, I've never wrestled any of them before besides Madison. So that was like really motivating and kind of scary, because coming back as a veteran, you know, there's certain things that encompass that, but also wanted to make sure I can hang still. Like, I didn't want to be, you know, old and shit.
10 years ago, like, you were doing stuff that no one else was doing. Like, Sarah Stock was kind of there, and you were doing it. But like, there was a ton of girls that were just getting by, and I don't feel like that's happening. Everyone's trying to go out there and kill it.
Absolutely, and they are. Like, I caught something last night. I think it was NXT. It was a replay, and I think it was a three-way. I couldn't even tell you who was in the match. But, like, 5 minutes into the match, the crowd starts cheering, "This is awesome." And I'm just like, 10 years ago, that would have never happened in a women's match.
It would be, let's go get some popcorn. Let's get out. Let's go.
Totally. Or tits, tits, tits. And it was, yeah. I left wrestling, one, because I was burnt out, but two, I felt I did everything I could possibly do with the women that were there to work with. And I just felt like I was never going to get like a bigger push than I had gotten. And don't get me wrong, I loved my storyline with Awesome Kong, and she was an amazing worker to learn with. But then, you know, after her was, you know, Sarah and I did our thing, but then the talent pool wasn't very diverse outside of that. All the knockouts at that time, we'd already worked each other on the indies for fucking years. So I was just like, meh. Whereas now, every major promotion in the indies, there's like this really strong female talent. And I think it's an exciting place to be as a young woman, like training and coming up through the ranks, because shit, I'd be not scared, but I'd be motivated. And
there's a lot of opportunity out there. And like, there's all these girls going to Japan for these promotions, and it seemed like none of that stuff was happening, you know, 10 years ago.
No, like Sarah brought me to Mexico pretty early on when I was like 19. You know, that experience like completely changed my life. Totally.
I'm terrified of Mexico now.
Yeah, but I was young and stupid. Like, I was, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, Mexico, that sounds great. And then a little blonde girl who kind of looks like a Barbie and smiles a lot, you'll be fine.
You definitely stand out there.
Yeah. So, you know, I was given pretty strict rules when I got there. Like, you know, hide your passport. Don't talk to cops. Run, actually, if a cop goes to talk to you.
Oh, no.
It was great. It was really good. Relaxing. No PTSD. But I like to end every episode I have with the same 10 tailor-made questions, and they're for guys and girls. But I feel like you're gonna nail this regardless. So, are you ready?
Oh, no.
Okay. Name one beauty product you can't live without.
Beauty products? Pomade.
Yep.
Pomade, nice. I was gonna say, it can be like deodorant.
No, I don't use deodorant. Screw that.
You just use, like, what is it, baking soda and herbal. What is your favorite exercise? Oh, hi, buddy. What's his name?
Her name is Harlot.
Harlot?
Yeah.
What is your favorite exercise?
Historically for me, probably just like a bench press, but something I've never done until me and Chris got together were snatches. So I'd never done it until me and Chris got together. She showed me how to do it.
I've seen the gym that, is that what you guys have in your garage? Or is that a CrossFit gym?
No, that is my garage. When everything shut down last March, I went out immediately and started buying stuff.
Good for you.
She bought stuff, and now we've got like a little cool little home gym.
It's great.
It's cool. It's a sweat box. It's hot as hell in there all the time, but that's perfect,
right?
That's
exactly what I was paying $200 a month for like 10 years ago when CrossFit like hit its first boom. So you're doing well.
And we just recently rejoined the gym that I was at before the pandemic hit. And we've gone like twice. Oh, yeah. And both times it's been like we're like there 30 minutes and we can't work out on anything because there's 1,000 people there. And we're just like, we got all this shit at home. Why are we here?
Yeah. I don't like people either. So I'm really into COVID.
Are you guys still locked down?
Up until 2 months ago. The only thing we could still do is grocery stores and like liquor stores and like the post office. But now like malls are open and restaurants are open, but there's still quite a few restrictions.
It's really weird to get in and out of the country, right?
Oh, yeah. Like you have to have a passport everywhere, like when you go to restaurants and like to say you're fully vaccinated. And it's such a weird time, man. Like I honestly don't know what the right and wrong answer is anymore.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. Everyone's got their own propaganda.
Yeah. And like from a first responder standpoint, I was like, yeah, go ahead, load me up because I've been working in it since it started.
Yeah.
But as I had been working in it when it was like really bad and I had probably minimal PPE because I didn't know what we were dealing with and I was going into work going, are we going to die? I've never gotten COVID, but I just, maybe I was lucky. Maybe I was asymptomatic. I don't know. So I just think your body, your choice.
I think a lot of people have forgotten like the rules of like how to keep your body healthy. Like in the first place, if you eat healthy and you take the right vitamins and all that stuff, you're going to stay healthier than if you're just eating shit all the time. Everyone's kind of like thrown that out. Like it doesn't matter anymore.
I know. And I think for wrestling, it's almost kind of like a first responder standpoint. Like you're like exchanging like bodily fluids, whether you like it or not.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like just get the vaccine. Like, it's, I don't know, like I'm not a pusher, but I think it is particular to your career in terms of that sort of thing.
It's like, we're going to be touching people, we're going to be traveling, just get it done.
Exactly. Polio wasn't good, so like, let's
I don't know, maybe that conservative propaganda is telling you a different story than what was really going on. I don't want to push any narratives, but
like I said, I don't like people. Okay, what's your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve? I get really irritated when people like try to answer for me for something. If I'm like in a crowd and they're like, oh, well, what do you like? And someone says something for me. I'm like, nah, I can do this. I can tell you what I want. That's probably
it. Find that, like, is that something you found a theme in your life? Like people try to answer for you?
You know, I'm very easygoing. I tried to be anyways. So sometimes people are like, oh, he doesn't give a shit. Just let him do whatever. And I'm like, just let me do it.
That's really insulting.
Yeah, right?
I feel angry for you. I don't like that.
Thanks.
Who is your celebrity crush? If you say your girlfriend, I hate you. You could say your girlfriend. It's actually quite cute.
She always makes fun of me about this. It's Gwen Stefani.
That's the best answer ever. Caleb for president. Good for you. Why does she make fun of it?
She doesn't make fun of it. It's just like anytime a No Doubt song or Gwen Stefani song comes on, she's like, oh, it's your crush. No, this shit's bananas, huh? You want to? She just likes to poke me a little bit.
What? That's a good crush. That's also my celebrity crush. So, what is your favorite band or artist?
Ooh, currently I have been really into Sturgill Simpson, who's a country Americana singer. Very different, very much like a lot of stuff you'd listen to if you're on mushrooms, probably. I growing up mostly in Atlanta, Outkast, the rap group, was very big to me. They're still probably my favorite rap group. I love Queens of the Stone Age and Led Zeppelin and anything that's like hard and crunchy. And but I want to be able to understand you. I can't listen to screaming shit. I can't listen to, like,
that's right.
You just touched on like three different genres.
I like to get, you know, I like to go all over the place, but I would say rock, Queens of the Stone Age, rap, Outkast, country is Sturgill Simpson.
Okay, cool. Do you have a secret vice, like drinking a glass of wine in the shower?
I do that. I don't know that it's a secret. I tell people that I, you know, a nice Cabernet in the shower after a hard day is not so bad.
That's why we get along. What wrestler has the best entrance music?
You do, definitely. the best entrance music. I've always been a huge fan of Kurt Angle's music. Honestly, DX's music back in the day was the best thing ever.
Yep. I feel like people really don't like suck it isn't a thing anymore. Is it because millennials are like disturbed by it?
Yeah, because if you say suck it on Twitter, you're banned from life.
Really?
You can't say suck it.
I feel like involved. I use that. I feel like as a mother in her 30s, who's 35 years old, I use that gif more than anything. That's probably why you don't get along with most people. I still think it's funny.
I was in middle school in like 6th, 7th grade with suck it shirt.
Yeah. It was a different time.
Yeah.
Like, you watch 90s movies back and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you can
watch
those
movies
things
from like 5 or 6 years ago and go, oh shit, how did they get... This just came out.
That's true. What is your drink of choice? Doesn't have to be alcoholic.
I like Cabernets. I am also, I don't like whiskey, except I like cran apple with, or not, apple whiskey with cranberry juice. Oh, Washington apple.
Oh, never tried that.
You know, on a regular basis, I'll go White Claws because I don't need the calories, but.
You're just a typical white girl, you know that?
I am. The basic of white girls. I'm gonna have me a pumpkin spice latte later.
What was your most embarrassing moment in the ring?
Man, am I allowed to say these kind of things?
Please.
Okay. Well, yes, I've had probably on two or three occasions been like pulled by the trunks and possibly had my balls come out.
Balls came out.
Definitely balls came out.
Yep.
There was another time I was in a tag match and I had a real bad stomachache that day, and I was on the buckle for this tag match, and I farted really bad, and the teammate on the other team on the buckle, not in the match, yells across the ring, "Caleb, did you just fucking fart?" And they knew it from 18 feet away.
I think I'm just going to change my podcast and ask people what their most embarrassing moment in the ring is, because it's a favorite part of my show. Because it is such a sport where, like, you know, you're meant to look like this, like, pristine, fit human being, but, like, you're also a human being. We wear tiny clothes and we, like, do flips. Like, gonna see a ball, someone's gonna shit themselves. And I've yet to hear anyone shit themselves.
I've got a couple of stories. I've been on shows. I've been on two shows with that happening.
Oh, my God.
One of them was Sami Callihan and Jon Moxley.
Shit. Which one shit?
Sammy did.
Okay, Sammy's on the list.
I'll let him tell the story. But
okay. All right. Sammy's on the list. Oh, Sammy would shit his pants.
It's probably not the first time he'd done it either.
I feel like that's just another Tuesday. Okay. Finish this lyric. Sorry, I'm not home right now. Walking in my...
fucking spider webs, but sorry, I'm not.
Yay!
Yeah! That's not on everyone. Nailed that's for it. Me, because I mentioned Gwen Stefani a minute ago.
You know what? I used to, like, choose an obscure lyric, and people always get nervous when I say finish this lyric, so I wait, and I ask you what your favorite band is,
okay.
And then when I find that out, or, like, yeah. Because otherwise, then we just stare at each other uncomfortably, and then my funny bad singing is not met with more bad singing, and it's just me looking awkward. So. A normal day. Well, thank you for taking the time out to do my podcast.
Sure, anytime.
Cool. Caleb with a K is more than a human, as he refers to himself. He's really humble because he is super talented. He does a phenomenal job as Caleb with a K. He really does help elevate women's wrestling, and he does it without an ego. He sees wrestlers, not gender. To him, it seems like no big deal, and I feel like to most people in today's business, it seems commonplace. But from someone like myself, who in 2007, while working for a WWE brand, was supposed to participate in an intergender wrestling role, had that role kiboshed for lack of believability and politics. But we are worlds away from that mentality now, and it's all thanks to superb workers like Caleb with a K. He's still annoying, and his outfits are upsetting, but I'm thankful for him. And I mean that. When he gets a push, he is going to do great things. So as hard as he is on the eyes, keep an eye on him. He's a force to be reckoned with. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We are back for our third season. I almost can't believe it. My life has been on this ever-changing roller coaster, but the things that have been stable in my life are my badass punk rock girl band, the Wild On Team. I've got my right-hand girl, my queen, Rochelle Duras. I've got Madison Galshani. And for the little things in between, Rebecca Levinson. If you want more of Taylor Wilde and what her badass punk rock girl band do, please check us out on Twitter and Instagram at RealTaylorWilde. We also have a very exciting Wild On YouTube channel where you can watch all the podcast episodes you've listened to back. Who doesn't want to watch a podcast? Please let me know any suggestions. DM me on Twitter and Instagram, and I will take everything into consideration. Please be patient, as I do get a lot of messages and I cannot respond to everybody, but I do read all of them. Until next week, stay calm and wild on. Let's get wild.